Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, just a little greeting. I've been away for the last couple of Sundays. I was out in Japan. And while I was there, I got to do a lot of thinking about what I would prepare. And thankfully, Alex helped me come with an outline to prepare for you today. And so, today we will be working in Mark chapter 5. And just as a short introduction, everyone within this church has come from somewhere different. We come from various backgrounds and cultures, and furthermore, we all have not had the same journey with Christ. We've come to know him through our own unique struggles and paths, but we've all come here to serve him. And one thing that we can say is unanimous among believers is that every person here needs salvation through Christ as much as the next. Every person here is in the need of the restoration and the transformation received through Christ. And what does this transformation look like exactly? In the example of this that I'm bringing today is shown in Jesus' encounter with a demon-possessed man. So like I said, we will be in Mark chapter 5. For some context, this happens just after Jesus calmed the storms while him and his disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee. So I will begin reading in verse 1, and I'll just go ahead and read the entire encounter. Starting in verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And the people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had Legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus, depart from their region. As he was getting to the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim to the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. And so what can we gather from reading this story? There's some immediate conclusions that we can draw based on the information that we are given. One, the powers of men could not help this man that was demon-possessed. They couldn't bind him or restrain him, and they had no authority over him. Number 2, the demon recognized and acknowledged Christ and his authority. We see in verse 6 that the demon-possessed man runs out to Christ as soon as he sees him, suggesting that the entity had already been aware of Christ and who he was before meeting him. We also see that the demon is immediately submissive to Christ, waiting for his permission to leave and go into the herd of pigs. 3, it says that after the man is restored, the local inhabitants come to find out what's happening and see that the man is clothed and in his right mind, suggesting that he had been exposed before, or at the very least poorly covered. And Christ provided him with clothing. 4, we see that the man was possessed, doesn't just want to go about his own life doing whatever he had been doing before he was possessed, but he immediately desired to follow Christ. Furthermore, when Christ tells him no and gives him an instruction, he goes out and does it with joy. So, what are some lessons that we gain from this as Christians? This possessed man is similar to one who is ruled by sin. Like I said before, we all come from different backgrounds and different places. At one point, we were all ruled by sin. And at one point, we all had to make the decision to come to Christ. This man was ruled by sin, and his shame had overtaken his life. And before Jesus had came, this man's shame was exposed to the world in his nakedness, but also in his isolation and self-harm. We see that in the earlier verses, especially verses 3, because he lived among the tombs and no one could find him. So this man was like a foreigner in his own land because of the demon that was possessing him and assailing him. Yet it was through Christ's power and mercy that his shame was lifted from him and he was clothed. Going further, just like this man, we bring shame to ourselves when we live in sin. And we can only be covered through Christ and the restoration that he provides. When we see Jesus' apostles later on in later books speaking of restoration through Christ in places such as Titus chapter 3. And I can begin reading verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, and slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by what is in us, or not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he had poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that in being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And for some context, Paul had been writing about some Christians, and these Christians in particular had at one point been leading lives in sin. And so Paul preaches and speaks about the transformation that Christ's grace and mercy and his blood can bring about in us. And going back to Mark, as a final point, we see that this man who has been restored by Christ has joy and a willingness to serve as he decides to dedicate his life to preaching the power of Christ so that others may be saved. We see later on, and I'll read again, in verse 15, they came to see Jesus and saw that the demon-possessed man, the one who had legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it described it and what happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And so they begged Jesus to depart from the region. And I think that their reaction is interesting when you compare it to the man who was demon-possessed. In this moment, They see that Jesus is a man with power and with great authority. But I think that they are focusing on the wrong thing when they try to send him away. Perhaps it's their loss of livestock that makes them fearful or makes them not want him around. Perhaps it's just fear of the unknown that makes them reject him. But we see that the man who is deeply afflicted with sin is the one that decides to dedicate his life to him. A lot of times we can't see what is good for us, and we can't see what we need in order to grow and develop and embrace the restoration that we need. There are some people out there that will reject Christ when they encounter him. And I think that as we navigate the world, we've known some of these people. And I think it is a blessing that the people in this room had seen Christ, acknowledged him, and decided not to send him away, not to reject him, but to embrace his love and his word and the restoration that he provides us. And so, God has already done the great work. He has made it so that all his lost children can be washed by his blood and restored to him. But before receiving this restoration, we must first seek Christ and acknowledge the sacrifice that he made on the cross. And taking it a step further, we must also submit to the power and authority Christ has in our lives through our dedication to his will. This comes in the form of repentance, acknowledging your sin and shame before him and turning from it. The burden of sin is one that will destroy us and lead us to death. But Christ offers up to us to take up his yoke instead and be transformed in his image. And it's this transformation that brings about the desire to then spread the gospel of Christ to others so that they may be saved. Take joy in the fact that you have seen and acknowledged Christ. Take joy in the fact that he loved you enough so that he would die and sacrifice his life so that you might have eternal life. Take joy in the fact that you can take part in his kingdom and the spreading of his word. Be like this man who is transformed and taken away from his sin and his shame. And most of all, don't go back to the sin that separated you from him in the first place. I hope that this lesson will help you to once again take joy in the restoration that you have received and allow you to dedicate your lives to the will of the Savior and spreading his word to others so that they might have a chance to see him, know him, and be restored to him as well.